So we're talking about vision. And I love vision because vision's all about, where are we going to? What are we going to do next? Like, what's the next exciting part of the journey? All of that good stuff. But also today, for a moment, just want to pause and say, but hey, what do you do when all of that stuff doesn't work? Because that's the year that we've been in. Like, what do you turn to? Is there anything deeper that we can go to? And I believe that God wants to reveal some stuff today that tells us there's actually a greater part to vision than just going to things or having a great idea or saying we're going to hit this target by the end, or we've got this goal, or we've got this ambition. There's an incredible verse, a very famous verse that you maybe hear about every time we talk about vision, and I'm going to read it to you today from Proverbs 29:18. It says this: where there's no vision, people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. It's from the King James. I brought it from that specifically to get that word vision in there. But the new translations have changed that word vision to revelation, which I think sometimes can help us out a tiny bit more. I want us to think about a vision and then people perish. I think automatically where we're going to get to is perish, I think about hell, and then I think about Jesus and how he transforms us. If we accept him into our lives, he takes away our sins, and then suddenly we go away from a state of I could perish to a state of I'm going to be with Jesus forever. That's exactly what I want us to think, and that's exactly what God wants us to think about today. So it's like when you have a vision, then the people won't perish. Now the ultimate vision, if we think about revelation, and the ultimate revelation is Jesus. And so I want to encourage us right from the start of this month, right to the end, and maybe even right to the end of your life, that the truest vision that you can ever get is a vision and revelation of Jesus. Because even when things don't work out, even when things don't pan out the way that you hope for, you still have a hope that cannot be moved. You still have a vision that cannot be affected because your vision is in Jesus. And it makes perfect sense, because you could have a vision all day long and still bad things happen. But if you've got a vision of Jesus, even when bad things happen, he's with you. And even if this life does not work out the way that you hope for or dream for, because that's the reality for a lot of people around the world, then you know you're going to an eternity with him where it's going to be incredible, where he will be an incredible rewarder, where you will know no sickness, there'll be no tears, there'll be no dying, because we will be with Jesus in heaven forever. So true vision is Jesus. And that's what I want us to ponder today for a few moments before we get into a blurry vision. True vision is Jesus. And when we get a true vision of Jesus, it absolutely transforms our lives. Can I tell you this? That when we don't see Jesus in our lives, that our lives are always going to be struggling. It's just ultimate truth. It's ultimate truth from the Word of God. It's also testimony from my life. My life before Jesus was struggling. Then I received Jesus. And suddenly, even though there may be times where I go through struggles, my life is no longer struggling because I have Jesus and he has transformed my life. If you don't believe that, ask him and watch what he does when you ask him into your life. He will totally transform you. You come just the way that you are. But for those of us that are Christians and know Jesus and have given our lives to him and suddenly he's become our vision, then we realize he has radically transformed us, and there are things that we go through, but we go through them together, and that makes such a difference. Here's what I realized: when Jesus comes into our life, suddenly struggling is not a thing that it used to be. Suddenly we put the main thing. And this is what is so important about vision, because otherwise we can put other ideas and other plans in front of Jesus, and then when those things don't work out, we find ourselves in a mess. But Jesus says, I've got to be your true vision, I've got to be your true revelation. And when he is, he becomes the main thing, he maybe even becomes your own thing, and then everything else follows underneath that. And suddenly, instead of trying to look for this or look for that, we're secure in him. And even when we're not sure what's coming up next, and even when we're uncertain of what's around the corner, we still have a confidence because we know Jesus. Does not sound an awful lot better. I mean, I don't want to be living on the goodness of my ideas. I don't want to be living on the goodness of somebody else's idea. And like, did they get a good enough idea so we can follow them? Even in church, even as a leader, even as a person in a family. Yeah, I don't want to be living off somebody else's idea or even mine, because my ideas run out sometimes. And even my best laid plans don't follow through the way I hope for. But when my vision is Jesus, when he's my main thing, when he's my everything, suddenly things fall into place. And suddenly life makes sense a whole lot more. That's what we're looking at today. Anytime we lose sight of Jesus, we lose. I think it's as simple as that. Anytime we lose sight of Jesus, we lose. Let me read John 14:6 to you. Jesus answered, he said this, That's why it's so important we get a revelation and we get a vision of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Like Jesus just spelled it out in black and white. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you've got to come to me. If you want to get to the goodness of the Father, if you want to get to heaven, if you want to find out how good God is, you've got to come through me. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm literally it. Like that's all the vision you need. If you could get that verse, it will transform your life. Forget about all the other visions you've got. Forget about all the other ambitions you've got. You get that verse in your heart, it will transform your life. Can we just break it down just for a moment? Our way. Isn't it incredible when you think about the way, you think about direction, you think about how so many of us are struggling at times for direction. I mean, this whole world has been struggling for direction this last year. Maybe you've been struggling for direction. I know I have been at times and continue to at times. But whenever I realize that He's the way, then suddenly it helps me. Suddenly it makes an incredible difference. And the story that I thought about this week as I was preparing the message was I thought about the children of Israel, and I thought about how when God came to their aid, He was able to make a way where there was no way. But then we come to this really crazy part of the story, and I don't know if you remember it, but it's where Moses goes up the mountain and he's going up into like kind of the holy place with God. He's going into the presence of God. It's like, to me, it's got to have been one of the highlights of his life. He gets to go up the mountain. He's alone with God. It's the presence of God is everywhere, and it's just him and God. And then God's going to give him an important message. And you've probably heard of this, the Ten Commandments. He literally gives them stone tablets, or he brings them up the mountain, sorry. And then God gives them the words, and he starts to write these in the stone tablets. It's an incredible moment in history. But what happens next is even more incredible, because the people that he left, the people that had known God's goodness, the people that had come through the Red Sea, they'd known God's salvation, they'd known God's provision, they'd been close to God, they'd seen God up close. The moment that they get Moses away, you know what the people turn around? They turn around to Aaron and they said to him, hey, we need a God that we can see. We need a God that we can worship, because that's what all the other gods were. They were all visible and you could see them. Here's the problem with the other gods. They weren't anywhere near as powerful as their God. They weren't anywhere near as good as their God. But for some reason, the people said, we need a God that we can see. Isn't it weird how sometimes when you have everything, you still want more? Isn't it weird how sometimes you just can't get contentment even though you've got all that you need? I think sometimes we need to learn to rest. And maybe it's a discipline of rest. Rest in the Lord. Rest in His presence and be satisfied with what He's given you rather than always trying to get something more. Because guess what? They then built a golden calf. This is crazy that they would build a golden calf. They smelt down all this gold. They built a golden calf, which is bad enough, but then it gets even more embarrassing when they start to worship this calf. It's dead. It's gold. It can't do anything. They serve the one high God, and the moment He's gone and the moment that Moses is gone, they start to do this. Isn't it crazy? When we haven't got Jesus in our full vision, that we can lose our way. Have you been there? You're saved, you know Jesus, but then you kind of take your eye off Him for a bit and you start to lose your way. If you've lost your way and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you once did, I encourage you, get a fresh vision of Jesus and watch how He turns things around for you and you start to go the right way again. Truth. I mean, He's the way and then He's the truth. I mean, we live in a world where it's like fake news. We live in a world where it's like, you know, what does this whole thing mean anymore? Is there any truth? Like, what do we go after? And I tell you, we're in a place now of confusion where we've got ourselves to this ultimate confusion place where nobody really knows what truth is anymore, and we're all confused, and we're all wondering, was that whole story correct, or was a part of it correct, or was the end right, and if I took the start from somewhere else, could I put it all together and get something that's right? I mean, we're in a total mess. Have you ever seen it worse than it is? I'm sure it was hundreds of years ago, but in recent history, it feels like it can't get much worse, and yet we know it probably can't. Truth is a big thing, and yet God is truth. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10. This was Paul writing. And he said this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you will agree with one another, and that what you say, and that there will be no division among you, but that you would be perfectly united in mind and thought. This is the dream of Paul. This is the command of Paul. He says, we would be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean to this is, one of you will say, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and to another, I follow Christ. But verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I mean, this is this crazy portion of scripture where Paul literally pours it all out. He puts his heart in the line and he says, guys, we are divided. We have known the way, the truth, and the life, but for whatever reason, we've decided to go after different truth. And he tries to realign them. He says, hey, remember, there was only one person that died for you on the cross. There was only one person that saved your sins. There's only one person that can transform your life, and it is Jesus. Can you have people in your life that will encourage you? Of course. But watch how, if we're not following Jesus, that we can get to a place of division. It didn't seem like that, but we got there. And now we're all believing different things. We've all got different truths. We've all got different beliefs. And Paul's urgency on the message that day is the same as this day, that we'd be perfectly united in mind and thought. Does that mean we can't think for ourselves? No. Does that mean that you can't have different ideas and different likes and different dislikes? Of course not. But when it comes to Jesus and our vision of him and him being the main thing and him being the thing that we're after, we're perfectly united in that. That is the goal of every Christian. And that's how we're going to be the body of Christ that God calls us to be. So he's the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. And John 10:10 is a famous verse for us in Vibe, and we've always loved this. And so it's Jesus comes to give us abundant life. But the one that I want to give you when it comes to life is the one from Matthew 16, verse 25. It says this: whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Now, I know we usually tend to just apply this verse to people that aren't saved yet, but I want to add this verse to us as all believers and just say to us that Jesus literally is life. When we're in him and we're following after him, then we're going to know life. John 10:10, that abundant life is what we're after. But if Jesus is not our vision, if he's not the one that we're pursuing, if he's not the one that we're talking to, if he's not the one that we're listening to, and if he's not the one that's directing our lives, then ultimately, even though you've got a good heart, even though you've got a good thought, it will not be the reality. And you will be going a different way. And you'll be going most likely away from God instead of into God, instead of living with God, instead of him empowering your life. There's that part in the middle of verse 26, it says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? And it's the same for us. You could have visions of everything. You could have visions and plans and great goals and all of that stuff. And I want you to think about this stuff over this month. But I want to make sure that Jesus is right and center. I want to make sure that he is high king over every aspect of your life. Because I tell you what, he will help you to fulfill all of those things and more. But don't put the horse before the cart. You got to do it the right way. You've got to do it through him, because we are Christians and he will transform your life. And if you're not, it is the only way to live this abundant life, is through Christ. Remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father but through me. If you know you're a sinner, if you've got issues in your life, if you've never turned your life around to Christ, then I tell you what, I'm praying and believing today that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, and you will pray and receive Jesus, because he will turn your life around. We must get a vision of Jesus and give our whole lives to him. Otherwise, we're going to waste our time and get caught up with other things. So come on, we need a vision of Christ. He is our ultimate vision. But today, I want to take for the last few moments, we're going to talk about blurry. Blurry vision. Like, what do you do with this thing when you get blurry vision? There's nothing worse. It's like, I can kind of see it, but it's blurry. Maybe you've had blurry vision because you drank too much good wine and you ended up with blurry vision. You're like, oh, okay, I shouldn't do that again. Or maybe you got up one day and you couldn't find your glasses. And you're like, oh, I've got blurry vision. I mean, there's nothing frustrating when you're trying to plod around and trying to find your glasses, and then suddenly you put it on, and you're like, wow, I can see now. Or maybe you had a late night and you wake up the next morning and think to yourself, wow, I just can't even see right. I've got so much sleep in my eyes. I've got blurry vision. It's frustrating, it's annoying, but it's actually very common. I read this from earlier on, I was doing some research. It says this: blurry vision is very common. It's like, not nice. It's a problem with any part or any component of your eye. Now, just to add something, I'm no scientist, I've no clue what they're talking about next, but I'm just going to give it to you. It says any part of your eye can do it, the cornea, the retina, or the optic nerve. Any one of those can cause blurred vision. And here's the other good news, if this is good news to you, that it can come progressively, slowly over time. We just get blurred vision because of a medical condition, or it can come suddenly because of a life event. I'm thinking to myself, wow, we've had this the last 6-7 months because of COVID. It's like suddenly all aspects of life became became blurry. It's like, wow, like, how do we see things? Where do we see the truth? Like, what's really going on? And it's just blurry, blurry, blurry. And I want to encourage you today that God wants to reveal some stuff that's going to help you to get away from that blurry vision. So what do you do when the way ahead is unclear? Like, ever been in the positions where it's just super foggy? I mean, ever driven your car and then, you know, usually when you try to find the fog lights for MOT and then you're in a sweat. But, you know, fog comes, you try to get your lights on, and then you're in this funny predicament. Ever notice that you put on your fog lights and you can't see any better? Because here's the problem with fog lights. They're not actually to help you see. They're so somebody else can see you so they don't hit you and it saves your life. That's the goal of it. And you're hoping that if you put your fog lights on, that everybody else will put their fog lights on so you can all see each other really well. It's strange, isn't it? Fog's just one of those things. It's really tricky to get through it. It's really tricky. You got to go slow and you got to turn the lights probably down. Full beam doesn't really work too much. You got to turn the lights down low and you got to go slow and you just got to hope for the best. Look for the cat's eyes, look for the white lines and try not to hit the bumps. You know, like that's the goal when it gets foggy. It's a nuisance, it's a pain. But what do you do in uncertain times? What do you do at this time when your life's uncertain? What do you do when your job looks uncertain? What do you do when, like, there's COVID on the horizon? What do you do when there's cancer? What do you do when you lose somebody? What do you do when you're not sure of your next move in life, and life is just uncertain and it's foggy and there seems to be nothing you can do? And the strange thing about fog is it's there, it comes all of a sudden and you're like, how long is it going to last? Who knows? And then after a while, after a few hours, maybe after a day or so, it's gone. But it's a nuisance thing. It gets in the way and it prevents us from really going at the speed we need to. It prevents us from getting to places quickly. It prevents us from going to the places we really want to, and maybe we have to give up or maybe we have to stop, because when thick fog comes, it's impossible to move forward in the way that we used to. So what are we going to do instead, and what do we turn to? What do you do when you can't focus? What do you do when times are uncertain? What do you do when life is blurry? I mean, literally, what do you do? I want to encourage you from the first part of what we talked about today that what you need to do is get a fresh vision of Jesus, because he is never out of sight. He's always there. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even those moments when we're not sure if we can see him, if we're not sure if he's really there, he is always there because he has promised us he will never leave us. It's an incredible promise of God. And I want to look at a story today that I believe is going to really help us. It's a story of blurry vision. And it's a story of Jesus. He's going to heal a blind man. He's going to give him his sight back. And I love this story. I want to read it to you today. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. It says, they came to Bethesda and some people brought a blind man. I mean, this is great. It brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And what I love about this is that you had some friends that brought another friend to Jesus and said, hey, can you do something? I mean, I think we need more of this in our culture today instead of disliking Jesus or being anti-Jesus or being anti-God. There were some people that got desperate enough to say, well, hey, let's give him a go. We may not fully believe in him, but let's give him a go. Verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Verse 24, he looked up and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Wow, what an incredible story. It's like, wow, your life was one way forever, and then suddenly you come to this man called Jesus. He lays hands on you, he spits on you. It was like, what? And by the end of a few moments later, you can see life forever changed. All that we're talking about today and all we'll talk about all this month is vision. This is a story about vision restored. This is a story about a person who could not see, and by the end of it, they can see. They've got a vision. They're able to see. They could never see before. If you've never come to Jesus before, then you've never truly seen before. It's like until you come to him, you'll never truly get a vision of what's really going on. Then once you come to him, suddenly you see in ways that you never saw before. I want to encourage you, come to Jesus. And so you got this man and his vision gets restored. But there's something really incredible in the midst of this story. I want you to catch it. Now, don't get distracted. It's not about the spit, although that's a bit awkward. It's a bit weird, but we're gonna leave that one alone. There's something even more that I want us to grab from the story. It's the fact that Jesus prays twice. This is strange, because normally he prays, great things take place, everybody's rejoicing, people run around skipping and dancing because he's done something amazing. But this time, it feels like he failed the first time, doesn't it? Feels like he prayed once, didn't work, pray again. Come on, this is Jesus. Like, what is going on? And I want to encourage us, we've got to go deeper, because Jesus knows no lack. He's always been perfect. He, even though he was fully man, he was still fully God. And so he is just incredible. He doesn't make mistakes. Everything he does has a point. And I believe today this is going to speak volumes to us. So come on, let's go for it. So what do we see? Well, not only do we see Jesus pray twice, not only do we see him spit, which just seems a bit weird, but thirdly, what we see is he asks a really important question. And we've got to answer this question. We've got to look at this question. Jesus turns around and he says to the man, "Do you see anything?" Now this is weird because Jesus already knows the answer to this question, doesn't he? He knows he can't see, but he wants to ask the question. It feels like it's an important question, and it is. But let me give you a few side notes. Jesus is there, the man's there, the disciples are also there. And Jesus, remember, this whole thing's about vision. And he asks the question, "Do you see anything?" He already knows the answer, but he's trying to ask a big question because he wants to get the summer. Jesus is going somewhere with this. He has stopped on purpose for a reason. He has prayed and he has released something, but he hasn't done all that he needs to do yet because he's got something he's looking to do in the middle. I'm telling you, in your life, God's looking to do something in the middle. Maybe he's given you a word and you've not quite seen it yet. Maybe he started speaking to you and you've not quite got it yet. He's doing something in the middle, and what he does in the middle is incredibly important for the next phase, for the end. So we're going to look at it. Jesus says to them, "Do you see anything?" Verse 24. And so the man's got a problem. He says, "Yeah, I do see, but I don't see very clearly. I see partially." He sees partially, and this is a problem because he wants to see more. When the man thinks about it, he says, "Well, I don't see very well, and I see blurry." And so the man's got blurry vision, but can I tell you that the disciples also have blurry vision because they're still not quite sure who this Jesus is. They're following him. They've seen the signs. It's a bit like the children of Israel. We've been following God. We know what he can do, but they're still unsure of him. I mean, it started off as he's our teacher, and in a few verses time, we're going to read that he becomes Messiah. But even at that, they're still uncertain because Peter's going to deny him three times. There's a journey that they're on, and there's a journey that possibly we're all on. And I believe that Jesus asked this question because here's the thing. He knows that everybody needs to see better. He knows that everybody needs to. He wants to disciples to set up a notice. He wants the man to set up a notice. And he says, "Hey, there's more. And it's for us today. There is more." Maybe you've received Jesus. Maybe you've asked Jesus into your life. But maybe there's more that you haven't seen yet. Maybe you're going around and you're seeing some things, but there's more. And we're going to investigate this today. And Jesus stops and he prays twice because in the middle of the miracle, he wants everybody to see, not just the blind man. This is the reason why he prays twice. It's not because he's made a mistake. It's not because his power was limited, but because he had a point to it and he had a purpose. And not only did he want the man to see, but he wanted his disciples to see. He wants to do something and change something that's never been done before. Verse 27, we read on. See this. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" It's like the same question. It's like, "What do you see?" And now he's going to ask them, "Well, what do you see in me? Who do you see me as?" Jesus replied, or the disciples replied, "Say, some say that you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say that you're one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asks. He's getting specific. This is the thing I notice. When we ask questions, everybody goes, "Well, everybody says this and everybody says this, or I've heard other people say this." But what God really wants you to do is ask the question yourself. What do you say? Like, what's your reply? There's no wrong answer to this, but what's he to you? What do you see, even though you're connected to God? What do you see, even though as a follower of Christ? Do you see the way that Jesus sees? Because I believe there's more. There's always more. "What do you see?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered and says, "You are Messiah." You're Messiah. It's like he's went from teacher to now he's going to Messiah. And eventually he's going to get to the point where Peter's willing to lay down his life for this man. At this point, he's not quite there yet because as we know, he's going to deny him three times. But he's excited, he's full of zeal, and he's enthusiastic. But how does he get to this part? And this isn't crucial. This part's crucial and it's really important. Remember we said right at the beginning, without a vision, people perish. It's not just an earthly vision. It's got to be a revelation from heaven. At this point, heaven has revealed something to the disciples. It's the same for us in our lives. Until it gets revealed to us, we're not sure of our need of Christ. Then it gets revealed and we're like, "Oh my goodness, I need Jesus in my life. I'm a terrible person. I'm a sinner. I need him to save me." It's incredible. He does that. But then as we go deeper into the things of God, he starts to reveal more things. Ever find how last year you didn't see things the way you see them today? And you'll not see them next year the way you see them today? Because God's constantly always revealing things. He's constantly always showing you things. He's a God of revelation. He's a God at the right time who will reveal the next thing. And this is exactly what he's doing today. He prays twice because he wants everybody to see. And when he does, something takes place. What about us today? Can we be real? 2020, we all said it. It was going to be our best year yet. it has been terrible for the church in one sense, hasn't it? I mean, we said we're going to go from strength to strength. Every church is saying the same things. 2020 vision, we're going to see in ways that we've never seen before. It's going to be amazing. The church is going to rise. Everything's going to go. Let me give you the real truth in case you've forgotten it. Church got locked down. It's crazy. It's like we've never seen this. Church literally got locked down, and there's still some churches locked down today in the UK. And let's believe and pray that it doesn't happen in Northern Ireland. Amen. Hallelujah. But it happened. Church got locked down in the year that we were supposed to fly, 2020. Can I suggest to us and suggest to me and suggest to you that we may not have it all figured out, that we may not have seen correctly, that we might still all need to see a tiny bit more because Jesus wasn't caught out. We were. We didn't expect it. We didn't know it. We didn't understand it. We still don't. But he does. He planned for it. He made provision for it. And he's perfectly in control. He is perfectly in control. We've got to understand that. You've got to understand that Jesus is perfectly in control. There's never been a day he's out of control, even with the enemy. Never a day. He's perfectly in control. It's not possible for him because he is a constant. He never changes. He's incredible. He's God. He's not like us. And so today, I want to suggest to you, I want to reveal to you that there's a need in your heart, whether you're a Christian of 20 years or you're not quite a Christian yet, there's more that you need to see. And we need to press in to get it more revealed to us. And so what's the answer? The answer is the same answer from the day you got saved to the day back in this day with the disciples to today. The answer is Jesus. Verse 25, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His eyes were restored. His sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. When we come to Jesus, wow, watch out. He's going to restore things. He's going to allow us to see. And it's when we come to him. Remember, this is not salvation. This is when we are with him, we're walking with him, suddenly we see things the way we need to see them. But don't jump ahead of him. Don't get ahead of him and then you're like, oh, I don't need him because I got this thing cracked and I got this thing figured out. No, we need him all of the time because he reveals this stuff to us. Jesus prayed the second time. Maybe we need a second touch because when he prayed for the man, his life was forever changed. He's like, wow, okay, now I fully see. When he talked to disciples in the next few verses, wow, now we see your Messiah. Over the next few years, like, wow, now we see who you truly are. And for us, maybe we need a second touch. Maybe you need a third touch, fourth touch. You just need to encounter him all over again because you need that fresh vision. Why? We need to see better. We need to see like Jesus. I mean, I know me. I still don't see the way Jesus sees. I see people sometimes and I walk past them. I mean, the man saw people. Look what he said in verse 24. He said, I looked and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now, it seems a bit of fun, but can I suggest this to you? I think a lot of us are walking around every day looking at a bunch of trees that should be people. For real. We're walking around because they may as well be trees because we don't show any compassion. We don't see any, show any love. And we definitely don't share our faith because we say we're too scared. Or like, oh, they wouldn't want to know or they wouldn't be interested or, you know. Man, I hope we're getting convicted today. I need to get convicted today because I'm worried that just like 2,000 years ago, this man who got a partial healing was in the middle of a healing, middle of a miracle, he can partially see. But what he sees instead of people is he thinks they're trees. And even the disciples turned around at times and said, God, why would we bother with them? Forget those 5,000. Forget those 4,000. Let them go get food for themselves. But Jesus said, what did he say? He said, but I had compassion on them. He says, no, we got to do something for them. And then they break bread and they feed thousands upon thousands of people. See, God is a God of justice. God is a God of compassion. Jesus is a God that says, come on, let's do something for people. He's not concerned about the outside. He's concerned about the inside. And so let's make sure when we're out and about that we see people for who they truly are, lost and broken and abused, not just physically, but inside spiritually, and that we have the answer in Christ. But if we don't get a vision of him, if we don't get a fresh vision of him every day, if we don't understand who we are in Christ, then we're just going to go on about our business because it's going to be about us. What if we're seeing people as if they were trees? Because we're having no influence and we're having no impact. See, for Jesus, when he saw people, guess what he saw? Full focus. He saw every detail. He saw every aspect of their lives. Remember, he would have compassion on them. He would stop with them. Sinners, prostitutes, he loved to hang out with them. Not because he wanted to do bad stuff, but because he wanted to change them. Because he had something inside of him. He had the Holy Spirit. He had words that would transform their lives. And they would be forever changed. He wanted to see people go to a find eternity, not a lost eternity. And our goal should be to take everybody that's going on the pathway to hell to turn their lives around through the incredible good news of Jesus and give them the opportunity to receive his good news so they can go to heaven and be with him forever. What if? Let's ask ourselves some big questions. What if we're more consumed with our own plans, our own vision, our own calling? What's the calling of our church? What's the plans of our church? Like, where are we going? What if we're more concerned with all of that stuff instead of being concerned with the call for the lost? Come on, let's be real. What if we're more concerned for all of that stuff? Because here's what Jesus said. I'm not even here for anybody else other than the lost. I'm not here for anything else. It's like palaces, position, authority, jewels, cars. Not interested. Come on, there wasn't even cars in that day, in those days. But you know what I'm saying? He wasn't interested in nothing. He says, I only came for those that need help. I only came for those that are lost. I didn't come for any other reason. And the moment I do my job, I got to go. Because now it's your job. And he handed it over to us. And our job is now to get fresh vision from him so that we get a fresh vision for everybody else. And we start to see them through the eyes of Jesus. That's really what vision is all about. What if we're only interested in our own things? What if we're only interested in our own ideas? And what if everybody else is literally just a hassle to us? Come on, let's be honest and be real just for a moment. We've thought these things. We've been there. And we've considered these things. And we've walked on by at times. And we've sat at home at times. And we've done our own things. Because it's about us. But Jesus says, let me get you a vision of me so that you can lay you down and you can start to have an effect on the world around you like never before. Do you need a second touch from Jesus like the man in the story? I do. I need it every day. What about you? Do you need a second touch, third touch? You just need a fresh touch. You need to see better. You need to see the way Jesus has created you. You need to see how Jesus wants you to live. You want to see like him because you want to be like him. See, when we get that, guess what's going to happen? Suddenly we're going to see differently. Suddenly we're going to see the compassion of Jesus for people and it's going to move us. Suddenly the troubles that come our way aren't going to shake us in the same way. We're going to still be able to do and move in the way Jesus calls us. Suddenly we're going to grumble and complain less. Suddenly we're going to see people and we're going to love people. We're going to have compassion on people. Suddenly we're going to have concern for them and they're going to make people our priority. Suddenly we're going to realize that he is a good God and he is full of goodness and he always supplies us. See, Nikki said it last time about thankfulness. Thankfulness is not just something you do because it's courteous or it would be rude not to. It's because you understand the overwhelming goodness of God. And from that position of supply and provision, you're like, wow, he's so good. I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to worry about. I simply give praise. I simply thank. It's the same today. When we get a vision of Jesus, we understand his goodness. And from that place of goodness, we say, this is too good to keep. I've got to give it away. There's more than enough for me. There is more than enough for me. Remember feeding the 5,000? 12 baskets left over, but they served everybody else first. By the end of it, there was more than enough for them. More than enough for them. Guys, I assure you, there is more than enough for you. But get a vision of him. Get a revelation from heaven. Seek the Lord and watch how he transforms you. See, here's what I want to say. Are you sick of blurry vision? I am. What about you? Are you sick of blurry vision where you're unsure of what's next and getting caught out about this thing and getting nervous about that thing and worried about here and you're like, you have no idea what's going to happen next? I'm going to tell you, blurry vision, forget it. Let's get to Christ and get a God vision. And suddenly all of those things don't matter anymore. They just don't matter. We start to pray, we start to worship, we start to focus on him, and he becomes our main thing. Guys, we're going to pray today. I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, that he would be your number one, that you would ask him into your life. I want to pray today that if you do know Jesus, that he starts to become your vision. There's so many other things that want your attention. Come on, you know that. So many other things that want you to worship it. And it may not be a golden calf, and maybe your phone, maybe your girlfriend, maybe your boyfriend, maybe your job, maybe your body in terms of working out physically, maybe all of those different things. But I'm going to tell you, let's cast all those things aside and let's get a fresh vision of him. So come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's tuned in. I thank you for everybody that's watching today. I thank you for everybody that is listening. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. And there's blurriness going on. There's blurriness in the world, Lord. We're uncertain of this. We're not sure of that. But one thing that we do know is that we need Jesus. And he is our answer. And if we don't know him today, I pray that you would say yes to him. A simple yes to Jesus will change your life. You take away your sins, give you a brand new start, and your life will be forever changed. Lord, I pray for anybody right now that needs that they would say yes now. Lord, I pray for those that are saved, and I pray for those that are following you. Lord, I pray there are so many different ways that we can follow. We can follow half-hearted. We can follow this way and that way. But I pray, Lord, that we will suddenly turn around and say, I want to look to heaven. I need fresh vision. I need a fresh touch. I want to move in a fresh way, and I want to be a person that gets it because I want to be a person that makes a difference in this world for the people around me. Lord, we're here for everybody else. Come on, let us get that revelation today. I am here for everybody else. and he will take care of me. Jesus, let me store up treasure in heaven that nobody else can take from me. Let me go after the treasure of earth, which is your people, and see many, many people won for Christ. Lord, urge us, push us forward, give us that fresh vision. And as we go on this journey of vision for this next month, I pray that you would do incredible things and you would bless us. Holy Spirit, would you move mightily today in every heart and in every home and in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.